Radio Free Press, a podcast from the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, campaigning for free, independent and accountable media.
Unless the Metropolitan Police and the Crown Prosecution Service had been forced via the Freedom of Information Act to reveal details of potentially incriminating hospitality, it would not have been possible to expose the true extent of collusion involving executives of the News of the World's publisher, News International. That's the claim of the Labour MP Tom Watson, who's already collected a couple of parliamentary awards for his work on the House of Commons Culture Select Committee in investigating the phone hacking scandal and in standing up to Rupert Murdoch. But for every new success notched up by the Campaign for Freedom of Information, there have recently been just as many alarming warnings that this hard-won legal right is about to be curbed, that it might not be possible and so easy in future to force the state and public bodies to reveal the kind of data which the authorities would like to keep secret, but which we know should often have been in the public domain all along. Now, here with me to discuss the implications of the review, which has just started, into the future of the Freedom of Information Act, is Maurice Frankel, the doughty Freedom of Information campaigner, who can claim much of the credit for what's been achieved so far, and the campaign's research officer, Catherine Gunderson. First, Maurice Frankel, just explain, why is there this review of the Freedom of Information Act? Surely this is an established right. Why is it even being looked at now?
Well, the government says that it wants to establish whether it's working as intended and whether the costs and benefits are proportionate to each other. The Justice Select Committee is carrying out this review, and it may lead to changes to the Act following.
But there are some very alarming noises off, aren't there? We've had this warning from the outgoing Cabinet Secretary Sir Gus O'Donnell, now Lord O'Donnell. He suggests that this Act is hindering good government. His fear, of course, is that ministers can't have full and frank discussions without the fear of their discussions being disclosed.
Yes, he's arguing for all papers of Cabinet and Cabinet Committee to be exempt absolutely from the Freedom of Information Act, at least for 20 years. And that would mean that the top level of discussions about new legislation and all key decisions would become completely inaccessible under Freedom of Information. In fact, the last Labour government considered exactly such a proposal, but rejected it ultimately.
Now, you mentioned the Labour government. Of course, it was a Labour Prime Minister, Tony Blair, who was Prime Minister when the Act was brought in. But he, too, is having very grave doubts about this legislation, isn't he? I mean, he's saying in his memoirs that it was a mistake for the government to have given the public and the journalists and everybody else this right to information which the state might want to keep secret.
Yes, his memoirs are very revealing, actually, because he leads off this discussion by saying that he's sorry they attacked the Tories for sleaze before the election, because he didn't realise that Labour would have its own skeletons in the cupboard and that they would be every bit as unpleasant as those they were accusing the Tories of. And he then went on to say he should have been more careful about introducing the Freedom of Information Act, and then goes on to talk about the Eccleston affair, where Labour received a £1 million donation from the Formula One boss before the election, and after the election he came into Downing Street to discuss another donation in return for the government dropping the proposed ban on tobacco advertising in relation to Formula One racing. Now, Tony Blair always at the time denied that these two things were linked, the possibility of a donation and the prospect of dropping the advertising ban for Formula One. The Freedom of Information Act has revealed that they were directly linked. And it's clear that when Tony Blair talked about Labour having its own skeletons in the cupboard, this is the kind of thing he was talking about.
Well, you would obviously, judging by what you're saying, you would obviously have some concerns then that there is perhaps going to be by the establishment across the political parties a real attempt to curb this act?
I think there's certainly going to be pressure for to exclude cabinet papers, not just cabinet minutes, but cabinet papers, the background materials that go to the cabinet committees across a whole range of issues from the Act. And there's also concern that a lot of public authorities are complaining about the cost, the volumes of freedom of information requests they're getting and the cost of dealing with them, and would obviously like to see either new fees being introduced for making freedom of information requests or for changes to the rules so as to limit the amount of information that people are allowed to get in response to a request.
Well, obviously quite a chilling effect there that you're describing. Now, before we look at what the campaign intends to do to try to safeguard the Act, could we look and examine perhaps what the Act has achieved? Now, Catherine Gunderson, as the research officer for the campaign, perhaps you can give an idea of what the Act has achieved. As a journalist, of course, I see it very much from the perspective of a reporter. As Maurice Frankel has been saying, that we can get sight of confidential government and cabinet material, which we might otherwise not see. But is that the true extent of the Act, or has it actually served other and a wider public good?
No, I think it has had a wider effect, and the public now have access to a whole range of information that they simply couldn't get before. Take, for example, food inspection reports of restaurants. If you'd asked for that before the Freedom of Information Act came into force, you'd have been told that that information was confidential because it would harm the reputation of the restaurant to disclose that information. But that type of information is now routinely disclosed, so people can go onto a website and check the scores for a particular restaurant that they're going to visit.
So you would say that the man and woman in the street then has been a beneficiary of this, not just the journalists and the politicians and the people who are looking for state secrets?
Absolutely.
What of the data then that you're collecting about this fact that the Act has then served the wider public, what do you think it'll be possible to demonstrate to the government? We've heard Maurice Frankel explaining the concerns that a government are having at a Whitehall level. How is it going to be possible to put up a case, do you think, to defend what you're saying is the case, that a member of the public can get vital information just about the restaurant around the corner?
Well, I think it's very important that as many people who have used the Act respond to the committee's call for evidence as possible.
Now, what we know then is that the Select Committee, this Justice Select Committee, which Maurice Frankel referred to, is going to carry out this review and is asking people to contribute evidence and ideas. And you're saying that people should actually get involved in that exercise?
Absolutely. And if you read the Ministry of Justice's memorandum to the committee, it actually says that there's not much evidence of requesters' views on the Act. So it's very important that that imbalance is addressed.
What would you like then to see members of the public actually doing? Writing their own little case histories then about how they managed to actually break through the barrier of secrecy, even if it was in their own local authority? We're not talking about Whitehall now. We're talking about the local council, aren't we?
We are. I think it's very important that people do that, and we're encouraging them to make their own submissions to the committee.
Maurice Frankel, clearly there is then, as you have said, a real threat. And you mentioned the possible restrictions. For example, there could be exemptions that we might not be able to get cabinet documents that we've been able to get in the past. There might be higher charges, which might have a real effect. What do you think are going to be the objectives now, as you see this review going on? Where do you think are your red lines where you're going to have to put up a fight?
Well, I think The review could also be the opportunity to improve the Act. So I think we're encouraging people to say, particularly if they've had problems using the Act, if it's delays or they feel exemptions have been misused, to point out the problems they've had in using the Act, but also to describe the successes that they've had, so the government and the Select Committee can see the benefits. I think there are a lot of areas where there may be a case for some minor adjustment to the Act to make it work more effectively, sometimes to take away things that are very troublesome for public authorities without much benefit, and sometimes to take away obstacles that face the public. But we certainly do not want to see significant new restrictions imposed under the Act. It's actually very important that public authorities receive substantial numbers of freedom of information requests. The object is to make authorities more open. They need to understand that the public have these rights, that the best thing for them to do is to release information straight away and not put up a fight and force everybody to go through the whole complaints system. And so anything that substantially cuts the numbers of requests, I think, would be very unwelcome.
So the point that Catherine Gunderson was making about the need then for the public to get involved in this exercise, to actually demonstrate to the campaign where the Freedom of Information Act has actually had a success and has been useful, that's going to be very important then in the coming weeks as this review proceeds.
Yes, and I think we would strongly encourage people who've got practical experience of the Act, good or bad, to let the Justice Select Committee in the House of Commons know about their experiences, so that the committee can see how it's actually working from the public's point of view and not just from the point of view of the public authorities, who will, of course, be coming forward with their own views about the legislation from their perspective.
Now, the Labour MP, Tom Watson, who has, as I said earlier, described how he used it to force the Metropolitan Police and the Crown Prosecution Service to reveal information which might not otherwise got into the public domain about the socialising with executives of News International. Now, he's saying that this should become, for example, a manifesto commitment for the Labour Party, that the political parties have got to get involved in the Act. Would you agree?
Yes, I think it's very important for political parties to be committed.
Across the political spectrum?
Absolutely across the political spectrum. What we don't want is to have parties unenthusiastic or even, I don't think anybody would be opposed to the legislation, but they might well be sympathetic to restrictions to the legislation. We want to see people going into the parties going to the next election saying, we're promising to strengthen the Freedom of Information Act.
Now, Catherine Gunderson, in your research, have you also come across much evidence of people in authority finding ways around the Freedom of Information Act? Now, there's a celebrated story about how friends and advisers of the Education Secretary, Michael Gove, are said to have been emailing one another on private emails so that they didn't put anything into the system which might otherwise be retrieved by a Freedom of Information request. Now, is that just a one-off, or do you find that there is evidence of people trying to get round these Freedom of Information provisions?
Well, it's not the type of thing you pick up from doing research, but there are well-publicised instances. We have the Govegate email scandal. We've also had the University of East Anglia ClimateGate scandal, where leaked emails showed academics discussing possibly deleting emails in an attempt to avoid them having to be disclosed under FOI. So there are these instances which show authorities trying to circumvent the legislation.
Your research, Catherine, would show, wouldn't it, that, as you said, there are local authorities, for example, which, because they know that information can be obtained under the Freedom of Information, are actually now taking the initiative and publishing it themselves.
There are. I mean, and particularly with the government's transparency agenda, more information is being published proactively about local authority spending, salaries. So there is more information certainly being published routinely.
And you would say that that was a public good that's been derived from the Freedom of Information Act?
Yes, yeah.
So finally, Maurice Frankel, give an indication of the timescale of this review and how close it's getting, do you think, towards the government actually taking some sort of action?
Well, the deadline for evidence to the Justice Select Committee is February the 3rd. So
not long.
No, people don't have very much time to get their evidence in, so they ought to put pen to paper straight away. We don't know how long the committee will take to carry out the review. It will probably be taking oral evidence, and we don't know how over what period of time it will do that. And then after the committee makes its report, the government will then decide whether it's going to come forward with proposed changes to the legislation. And that could be, you know, a year away. from now, or perhaps even a bit more. So the time scale is not really very clear, but for the immediate bit of the exercise, getting evidence into the Justice Select Committee, that has to be done very quickly.
Now, we could really say that freedom of information is your baby, isn't it? Do you think we're in danger of throwing this baby out with the bathwater if the government gets its way?
There are certainly some people who would want to see significant new restrictions introduced. There are supporters of freedom of information in all the political parties and in the government as well. So it's not a foregone conclusion that that is what will happen, but it's a definite risk.
Would you put your life on the fact that the old Freedom of Information Act is here to stay, Maurice Frankel?
Well, I think the Act is here to stay, but there are innumerable ways of making it less effective, some quite subtle, and I think we have to be on guard against those changes.
Well, Maurice Frankel and Catherine Gunderson, thank you very much indeed for explaining what the Campaign for Freedom of Information plans to do to protect and safeguard the Freedom of Information Act. This podcast for the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom was produced by Claire Collard.